Well, Mark chapter 5, and the title of the message today is Jesus, Our Hope. Aren't you glad we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. And then after the service, we've got two young people to get baptized, and so we'll get that taken care of after the service is over. But Mark chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, if you'll follow along with me silently while I read out loud. Mark chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you again for today, for your blessings. And Father, for the songs that were sung, the offering we received, and yet, Father, for your word as it goes forth. Work in our hearts and lives, and I just pray, Father, your Holy Spirit would search our hearts. Help us where we need help. Strengthen us where we need strength. Encourage us where we need encouraging. And thank you, Father, for all you do for us and for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Jairus, or some call him Jairus, however you pronounce his name, but the name means diffuser of light. And he comes to Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And you know what? In this account, there's three simple things in his coming to Jesus. The interesting thing about the scriptures is there's one interpretation. There's many applications. You can look at this and get several messages out of this and several things to apply it to our life. But I want to give you three things today. The reason why he came to Jesus. And secondly, the response to his coming, and thirdly, the result of his coming. And so I want to give you those three things today. Number one, he came to Jesus because he was in trouble. Look in verse 23. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. He came because he was in trouble. You know, sometimes it might take trouble to bring people to Jesus Christ. I wouldn't want to face trouble without him, would you? I certainly wouldn't. Well, you know, when we're in real deep trouble, this whole world really fails us. But I always marvel and thank the Lord that God never fails us. Aren't you glad? Say amen. Amen. Now, he came to Jesus because he was in trouble. His daughter, his little girl, is at death's door. You ever find that sometimes as a Christian, when you're struggling, you have problems, you have struggles, you pray more? Ever find that? Sometimes God might allow things to come into our lives to get us to draw us closer to Him. Sometimes we may go through trouble, and we're going to share some things here today, but we might say, well, God, I've prayed, I've asked, where are you? He's always there, amen? We might not understand it, but He's there. We're going to draw some things from this today that hopefully will be a help and encouragement, but sometimes it takes trouble to bring folks to Jesus. Some people get saved because of a catastrophe in their life. Some people get saved because there's things happening in their life that's destructive, and they've tried everything else. They've got down to the bottom of the barrel, and there's nowhere but sink or swim. And sometimes at that point, sad to say, they got to that point, but sometimes folks get to that point in trusting Christ. Amen? It's sad that people have to go through those things, but it does happen, and people make their own choices. But Jairus, he's not at that point, but he's struggling. You put yourself in his place. One of your kids, they're dying. And you've tried everything. You've gone to every doctor, every hospital, every clinic. And your little child is dying. You're going to pray a lot more, wouldn't you? Your husband almost died a couple years ago. A lot of people prayed for him. I bet you and him prayed a lot more too. But you know what? These things happen, and sometimes we wonder why. Sometimes they happen to bring us closer to Christ. Sometimes they happen because God might put us in a place to meet somebody we would have never met before that we could share the gospel. Did you pray more when you were having your problem? You did, didn't you? We prayed for you too. Now here's a gal. I marvel at this. I'm out of shape. I'm working. I've lost 40 pounds in the last 4 months. I don't know if you noticed it, but I got more to lose. But here's a gal who's a physical fitness instructor. She has a heart attack. I'm out of shape. I have no problems. What it tells us, though, it doesn't matter who we are, what shape we're in. And you know what? For some reason, God, as I've shared before, look at Romans 8:28, but we go down to verse 29, that God is allowing things to come into our life to make us more like Jesus Christ. And when we look at things that happen to us in our life, Jairus here comes to Jesus Christ, and he's in trouble. And the Lord doesn't fail us, but often when we're in prosperity, and I say often, there's exceptions, but generally speaking, many times when everything's hunky-dory, everything's going right, there's plenty of money and plenty of everything else, Many times people forget the Lord. Many times people live without Him, and God can allow trouble to come into our lives in order to get us to an urgent sense of need. Now there was no other help. Look at verse 23 of Mark chapter 5. "And besought Him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." She's at the point that we almost come to. We're all going to come to it one day. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. I thought about this as I read through this. What would you do if one of your kids was dying? Man, how we would pray. We wouldn't take time to watch TV or play games or go for a joyride. We'd be at their bedside all day and all night, and we'd pray and cry out to God. His little daughter's at the point of death. Sometimes later in life, death faces us in our twilight years, sometimes sooner, like this little girl. But the doctors weren't able to help. And back up into verse 22 here. "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet." He was a ruler of the synagogue. And as I glean through this, that even though he was a religious man, hey, mark it down. Just because we serve the Lord, you go to church, you can say, man, I go to church, I pray, I read my Bible, I teach Sunday school, I visit on a bus route, I tithe, I witness, I hand out gospel tracts. That doesn't mean that trouble isn't going to come your way. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have struggles. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have burdens. And so we look at this. His religion couldn't help him. Jesus is the only hope. Some people get so wrapped up in religion, and I use religion quote unquote. You know, and I'm thankful as Bible-believing Baptists, we have no book but the Bible. Amen. I've got books in my library from various religions that are, some are that thick and that thick and that thick, with all the creeds and all the things that you got to do. And if you follow this and this and this, and when you die, you might make it to heaven. They make it so complex. I'm so glad that it's not a religion that saves us, but it's Jesus Christ. Amen. And the simple plan of salvation that has saved people for thousands of years will still save people today. Amen. Now, he was a ruler of the synagogue. But he urgently comes to Jesus, and he believed in the power of the Lord and in His willingness. God is always willing, is He not? God has power. God has the same power today that He had back then, that He had when He created the heavens and the earth. God is always willing. The Bible said God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants people saved. He's willing to save people. He's willing, after we're saved and we struggle and we falter and we fail, He's willing to help us. He's a very present help in the time of need. He's there for us. Our part is to believe and help. The doctors weren't able to help, and so he believed in the power of the Lord and His willingness. So number one, he came because he was in trouble. And let me tell you this, you get in trouble, you turn to the Lord. Oh yes, you go to your doctor, you take your vitamins, you do whatever, but you better pray. I've had doctors tell me over the years, different doctors I've talked to that have said to me, they said, "Preacher, there are things we've done in the operating room that we could have never done by ourselves." I had one guy telling me, he said, "I used to be a skeptic, and I've gone through some surgeries and helped some people, and I knew that God's hand was leading me in that surgery because people were praying for that patient." You know, we have a wonderful God. Don't sell God short. He has power. Secondly, the response to His coming. Look in verse 24. "And Jesus went with Him, and much people followed Him and thronged Him." A response that at once Jesus went with Him. He's always ready to meet our need at once. Jesus goes with this man when He hears the need, but He allowed His faith to be tested. Sometimes we don't like our faith to be tested. You ever have a test? You have a test at school. Remember when we were kids, we said, man, I can't wait to get out of school. You go to college, you do other things, you're still taking tests. You're being tested. You guys take tests in the Army and the National Guard? Sure. Anybody do stuff and you have to further what you're doing and you take tests at work? Anybody else? Sure, some of you do. And so there's various tests that you take. It's not just to get the grade, but it measures what you know. And yet it might show you where you fail, what you don't know, and what you need to study up and bone up on. But we get tested. Our faith gets tested. And the Lord allows this man's faith to be tested. Let's look down in verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and verse 26, suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had. She was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. So on the way, notice verse 24, Jesus goes with him, and much people are following him. Along the way, Jesus meets this woman. She is sick. She has an issue of blood. It could be a leukemia, some kind of blood cancer, whatever it is. But she's sick. She's gone to doctors. They couldn't help her. She spent all of her money. She's flat broke. She has nowhere to turn. Jesus stops for one woman in a crowd. He stops for you and I. But he's on the way to this man's daughter. His daughter is dying. But Jesus stops to help this woman. And when you ever get in struggles and needs, he'll stop and help you too. Amen? That's wonderful. Now, go on down here. And I thought of Psalm 46:1. He's always ready to come to our aid. Look in Psalm chapter 46 and verse 1. Keep a bookmark in Mark because that's our text. But go to Psalm chapter 46 and verse number 1. In Psalm chapter 46 and verse number 1, there's so many other appropriate verses you could use, but the Lord led me to this one. It's so appropriate. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge. That's a place of safety. He's our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. That's our God. A refuge and strength. We're to draw strength from Him. I can do all things through Christ, which Paul said, strengtheneth me. We're to get our strength from the Lord. And we go on down here, and He's our refuge, our place of safety, a very present help in time of trouble. He's always there. He sometimes allows faith to be tested with a bigger picture of things to come. We look at things sometimes, and we've got an idea of how it should be. God sees the bigger picture, does He not? He knows what lies ahead. I don't know what lies ahead. We can have an idea. We can hope for what the future holds. But bottom line, I don't know what this afternoon's going to bring. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. A person could be driving down the road and get in a car accident. You say, man, if I'd known that, I would have taken a different road. You didn't know what lie ahead. God has the bigger picture. He knows what's going on. And so sometimes He allows faith to be tested because He's got something bigger and better for us. A bigger answer than we even dared to ask for. That's the wonderful thing about God. You ever ask God for something and He gives you something bigger than what you even asked for? That's God. And so we look here and He stops for this woman to help her. And the woman touches the hem of His garment. That's His robe. Look down at verse 27 to 29. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched the garment. For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. Verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She's immediately healed. And then He says, well, who touched me? And we can go on down through the thing. But time passes. And while Jesus is asking, He's asking, well, who touched me? And He's talking to the disciples. And He said in verse 34, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. He said, because of your faith, your disease is healed up because you believed. But time has gone on here. And look down in verse 35. While He yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? He said, sir, your daughter just passed away. Sometimes you might ask at that point, God, where you at? I mean, I came to Jesus, I asked for help, now my little girl is dead. And whatever your problem is, you might go through something and it's not happening the way you think it should. And you might say, God, where were you? I don't know what this guy thought, but I know oftentimes what people think as I've dealt with people and gone through things myself. God, where's the help I prayed for? You ever feel that way sometimes? I remember, God's got the bigger picture. God, where are you? Look down in verse 36. And as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, He saith to the ruler of the synagogue, He said, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. You might sit and say sometimes, and I've talked to people, they've gone through a tragedy in their life. And they said, preacher, you don't understand. I prayed and prayed and prayed, and it didn't happen. Why? God's got something else. God's got something bigger. He's got something better. We don't see the whole picture. God does. Remember, and we brought it out from time to time, the Apostle Paul, as he had an infirmity, as he had a thorn of the flesh, and he asked God three times for healing, but God didn't take it away from him. But he said, Paul, I'll give you the grace. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul realized that when I'm weak, I'm really strong because I'm leaning on the Lord. I've got the Lord holding me up. can't get any better than that, can you? His faith and trust in God allowed Paul to go through his infirmity so that he could depend on the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the Lord could give him the strength that he needed to hold him up through each and every day of his life. We have a fantastic Savior, amen? Now, you might sometimes say, God, where are you at? Where's the help I prayed for? And I found this out a long time ago. God's already answered our prayer. We just don't know the answer yet. He says, hang on. You just hang on. I got it all taken care of. You ever do that sometimes, maybe with your kids? They ask mommy, daddy, they want something, and hang on, I got it all worked out. You don't tell them all the nuts and bolts. Maybe they can't comprehend it. Maybe they don't understand it. Maybe the time is not right for you to tell them. You say, hey, I got it all worked out. Don't worry about it. God's got everything worked out. And so he says to this man here, be not afraid, only believe. Now the third point, the result of Jairus coming to Jesus. Look down at verse 37 to 39. Let's see what happens. He came to Jesus. He asked for help. Jesus goes with him. He's a very present help in the time of need, in the time of trouble. And on the way there, Jesus stops to help someone else. Here's this woman with an issue of blood. She's bankrupt. She's tried everything. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And she does. Her faith made her whole. And while they're talking, and Jesus said, who touched my garment? And he's interchanging with the apostles. And some time goes on. And then these guys come up and say to Jairus, your daughter's dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore. Let me tell you something. You can never bother Jesus too much. You go back to the prayer of the friend at midnight. Remember the guy who kept on knocking and knocking and knocking? And he kept on until finally he got the answer. Sometimes, and I want to stick to the text, but I'm chasing a rabbit a bit, but sometimes God wants us to ask and ask and ask because he wants to know, maybe how bad do you really want it? How bad do we want something? That goes back to the friend at midnight, the importunate friend. But let's get down here in verse 37 to verse 39. He said at the end of verse 36, be not afraid, only believe. In verse 37, and he suffered no man to follow save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Suffered means he didn't allow anybody. He said, guys, I just want these to come with me. And he cometh, verse 38, to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. The tumult, in other words, they're beside themselves. Their heart is aching. Their heart is breaking. This little girl, their daughter has died. Their niece has died. Their sister's died. Whoever, but this little girl is dead and friends and relatives are there. And they wept and wailed greatly, and you and I would too. Verse 39, and while he was come in, he saith to them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. He enters into the house. He said, why are you all upset? Why are you crying? This little girl's not dead. She's really sleeping. Now, the Bible refers to death for the saved, asleep. God knows what's going on. I mean, she was dead. Couldn't you imagine those people say, wait a minute, Jesus. We know dead. We've seen dead. She is dead. Maybe they would have said, we heard the death rattle. We saw that last breath go out of her. She is dead. I said, nah, she's just sleeping. You know why? Because Jesus was in control. He was in charge. And we go down here and we look in this scripture and said, she's not dead, but sleepeth. Look at verse 40. And they laughed him to scorn. They were making fun of Jesus. They didn't believe his word. Sometimes you might hear something in the word of God say, I don't understand it. I've had people say to me sometimes, preacher, you've showed me what the Bible said, but I don't believe it. You've got to believe the word of God. There's nothing greater than the word of God. The power is in the word of God. And they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother and the damsel and them that were with him and entered into where the damsel was lying. He put the doubters and the skeptics out. I thought about that. Well, number one, they laughed him to scorn. They didn't believe, and he's got a job to do there. He's going to work a miracle. I thought of the verse or the scripture where Jesus went into one city, one town or village, and he goes to do some wonderful things, but he could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. And what did he do? He shook the dirt off his feet and he went on somewhere else. Said, you don't believe? I can't work here. God operates on faith. He wants us to believe. And here in this story, this true story, he put the skeptics out. They were laughing him to scorn. They were making fun of Jesus. They wouldn't believe. Sometimes we run into skeptics. Sometimes we run into people who mock the Lord and make fun of the Lord. And sometimes if you're not careful in your own heart, you will really doubt what God can do. God can do wonderful things. And so he put them out. And then he proved himself. Seven are left in the room. We've got Jesus and Peter and James and John, her father, her mother, and then the little girl. You know, I thought of what heartache the parents must have had. They were in there, they're weeping. I don't know how he put them out, but he put them all out. Maybe he just said, folks, you need to leave. I just need the folks and the parents and these men with me to be here. I don't know how he told them, but he put them out. And so we have seven left in there. Seven's a number of perfection, but let me say this. You won't always find, as I search the scripture, where there are always seven. But that is God's number. And in verse 41, here's the victory. I like victory, don't you? And that's the neat thing about the scriptures. No matter what we read, no matter what happens, we see the victory that comes. I've gone to the grave of loved ones, and I've had many funerals over the years. Probably the three hardest funerals in my life was when my grandfather died. I was just a young preacher. My mother's mother, it was in Ohio, and there were 16 kids in their family, and including me and my sister and brother, my grandma and grandpa had approximately 100 grandkids. I've got cousins I've never met. But my grandpa, before he died, requested that I give his funeral. I said, no problem, piece of cake, until 5 minutes before. That was hard. At my own mother and father's funeral, I had a Baptist preacher down in Tennessee give it. I've been to the gravesite of many people, and there's certain places down south, I don't know if it's still today, but you have to have someone, and I've done this as a pastor, have to witness putting the dirt, filling the grave in. That goes back to grave robbers. Somehow, some way, and I knew they're saved, they're in heaven. I couldn't watch him do that to my mom and dad's grave. I just couldn't. I don't know why, but I couldn't. I knew my mom and dad weren't in that box. They weren't in that hole in the ground. They were saved. They were born again. That's just the shell in a box. Their soul was in heaven, but it's hard. It's hard when you have a loved one that dies. Even though you know they're in heaven, there's still, it's like something inside of you is missing. And we come down, and I think of that scripture. That at the last day, you know, at the rapture, the graves will be open of the saved. And they're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And we which are alive and remain will be caught up to be with the Lord. That's going to be a wonderful, exciting sight, will it not? I looked down in verse 41, and there's victory in that. Verse 41, here's victory. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, rise. He takes the little girl's hand. He said, damsel, arise. In other words, we would say today, little girl, get up. And in verse 42, and straightway the damsel arose and walked, and she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Man, I thought, what joy, what excitement that she, this little girl who's laying there and she's dead, she opens her eyes. She takes a breath. She sets up. She gets out of bed. Her parents are now overwhelmed to the point that they couldn't even describe it. And we read here in the scripture, they were astonished, into verse 42, with a great astonishment. They couldn't even describe it. They came to Jairus and said, your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the master anymore. Jesus said, we're still going down there and take care of the situation. He knew what was going to happen. He knew when he stopped to help that lady that the daughter would be dead. He knew before Jairus came what was going to happen because Jesus is God. And he knows what's going to happen in your life and my life. And we might see a tragedy, but if you put your faith and trust in the Lord, he's in control. I like in John chapter 10, verse 27 to 29. Yes, it's dealing with eternal security, but he said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. He says, we're in his hand. Nobody can pluck us out. But he holds us securely in his hand. He's in charge. He says, I got the bigger picture. I'm going to stop to, I put in my own words, but it's like I'm going to stop to help this lady. She needs help too. He stopped dying long enough to save the thief on the cross next to him. Out of all the people that day who hated Zacchaeus, he stopped to save one Zacchaeus. He said, come on down. And he went to Zacchaeus' house and Zacchaeus gets saved. Jesus always has time for you. He had time for this woman, and he was going to make time for this little girl who died. You know, Jesus may seem to delay your answer to your prayer. He may seem to delay his response to your pressing need because he's got something bigger and better for you. Now, there was a delay here. Delay is not denial, but I believe it's God's infinite love and wisdom. He's planning an answer bigger than our biggest asking that we could do. And so God has something bigger and better for you. You say, what is it? Hang on and wait. That's the hard part, is it not? But hang on and wait. Hang on, because the Lord said, just believe and put your faith and trust in me. I've got something for you. I want to give you a couple scriptures before we close. One of my favorite, go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33 and verse 3. In the Old Testament, after Isaiah somewhere, Jeremiah 33, 3. I want to tell you an answer to prayer that happened to a friend of mine I haven't seen in years, but on Facebook. His name is Steve Alexander. I mentioned it last week. But his wife goes down to visit the grandkids in Alabama. She's having bad headaches, goes to the hospital. They do MRIs and that. She's got a brain tumor. One of the top, who works with oncologist or a cancer doctor, and he said it's cancerous. Her brain had a lot of cancer in it. But you have brain cancer, you don't have long to live. And they put on there, and I got emails, and they put on Facebook, ask everybody to pray. She goes in to have her surgery. I'm one of the top doctors, and it was one of the top doctors who examined her. But this surgeon opens her up, expecting to find cancer. And he took out the tumor. He said, I couldn't find any cancer. They sent the tumor to the Mayo Clinic just to double check. And it came back, she has no cancer. Now, how can the top doctors check her out down there in this hospital in Alabama and check her out and say, you've got brain cancer, you don't have long to live, you've got these cancerous brain tumors? And then they open her up and said, there's no cancer. God answers prayer. God's in charge. Now, let me say this. Does God heal everybody? No. Paul's a perfect example of that. But he gives us the grace to go through it. There's the three men in the fiery furnace and Daniel in the lion's den. And yet I read of early Christians who were burned at the stake for their faith. And yet God had a bigger picture for that too. But when you're going through things, it gets rough. But God's still in charge. Look at Jeremiah 33:3. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God said, I can give you bigger answers than you can even ask for. Believe. Go back to Jeremiah 32:17. Just back a page or two. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Aren't you glad there's nothing too hard for God? Go over to the book of Luke. Nothing's too hard. Don't be afraid to ask God for big things. And then look in Luke 18:27. Luke chapter 18 and verse 27. There's a lot of other verses, but I'm just going to give you these three. Luke 18:27. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. That's fantastic. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Here God meets a man's need. He thought he was defeated. My little girl, I got word she's dead. Jesus said, hang on. I got something bigger for you. I got something good for you. Couldn't you imagine how excited they were when they saw that little girl who was dead, her eyes opened? She takes a breath. She sets up. She gets up. They went and told everybody about it. And I'm going to tell you something. I bet you a lot of folks got saved because of what happened there. I don't know what God's bigger picture was. I wasn't there, but I'm going to deduce that maybe through God working in that way, some folks came to know Christ as their Savior. We have a wonderful God who loves us, who cares for us, who's there for us. You might be sitting there saying, well, I don't have anything that big. I don't have any kids at death's door. We got some folks here. You had a heart attack. Did they? I can't remember what you told me, but that was pretty serious if I remember. Your husband almost died. When I was 19, I almost died. I think of the love of God and God who answers prayer. And you know that sometimes through those things, people can come to know Christ as their Savior? that He can open doors for us to be a witness. He's working on our heart and my heart and your heart to bring us around to be more like Jesus Christ. Sometimes it might be a crisis. Sometimes we go through hard struggles. There's people in this room who had struggles with work, with jobs, with paying your bills. And I want to tell you something. God can meet your needs. Now, He might not meet it the day you ask it. It might not be today or tomorrow. But He has a reason sometimes for the delay in the answer, because maybe He has something better for us. But believe and trust and ask and stay faithful and serve God. He's a wonderful Savior. Let's bow our heads this morning. With every